much. Let's dive straight into Style and Design. It is, can you believe it, the last Thursday of the month. February is almost upon us. And the last Thursday of the month is when Bianca Reznikov pops in to talk Style and Design. First time for the year for me, so welcome back. Happy New Year, and thanks for being part of the show again this year.
It feels so wrong to say Happy New Year on the second last day of the month, but Happy New Year to you. Good
we'll
to
do
be
it
here.
For one more time. Okay. Yeah. We are going to start with a little quick chat about some red carpet trends and fashion trends for the year ahead before we focus on our main topic of this year's Design Indaba. Bianca, it is award season time. We've had the Golden Globes, we've had the Grammys, we've had the Screen Actors Guild already, Oscar night just around the corner. I want to know from our listeners which fashion trends they are happy to leave behind in 2019 and which ones they are embracing going into 2020. I haven't a clue what 2020 holds from a fashion perspective other than what I've seen on the red carpet so far. Any thoughts from your side? First up, from what you've seen at the big awards ceremonies, interesting trend as an observer of some completely uncovered who should have covered more. Gwyneth Paltrow, I'm talking about you, and quite a lot covering up more than we used to see it.
Yeah, January and February are award season months in the Northern Hemisphere. As you said, all the shows have happened. I mean, the one most recently that comes to mind was the Grammys. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. The sculptural lob is a look, which is, in other words, is a long, blunt bob. That's something that seems to be reoccurring. Mm-hmm. So those very curly, long tresses, we're not seeing them anymore. People have cut off the dead ends and are going for much more practical, shorter haircuts. And that's across the ages, all ages. And a lot of shortcuts as well.
Okay.
Kind of little pixie cuts are making a comeback. Men are seeming to be more playful and elaborate in their outfits. We're seeing a lot of guy shadow and makeup. You remember guy liner that we spoke about before? We're now seeing a lot of guy shadow and a lot of painted nails in men and elaborate colors and embellishments on suits. I mean, you always see more of that at the Grammys with male musicians, but it seems to be crossing over, which I think is very interesting. You mentioned Gwyneth Paltrow, something that she wore, even though that dress was far too much information.
Yeah.
Especially from behind. Remember that shot that we all saw that went viral?
Can't unsee
that. But she did have a very elaborate necklace on
underneath her dress. I found that very curious.
It was interesting. And that was something that repeated itself. Kerry Washington had jewelry as clothing. Okay. So that was something that I think will translate into the mainstream, you know, seeing a necklace that's attached to a dress and they become one. I liked that idea. It was quite novel.
Color-wise, there were reds and pinks on the red carpets that I saw quite a bit. But what else is sort of trending, or is there a color of the year that you've been able to spot?
You know, anything goes, I think, with color. I've seen a lot of green, rose, as you mentioned, that pink. But that's been for a while.
For a long time now,
A lot of white metallics always make an entrance at the red carpet because they're so kind of glitzy, you know. But definitely a standout for me was Margaret Qualley, who is Andy McDowell's daughter. She's the new starlet from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Tarantino's new movie that's getting a lot of hype. She was wearing at the SAG Awards a Chanel pantsuit, completely covered up from the neck to toe. You know, here's a young starlet, you know, making her debut on the red carpet, wearing kind of more comfortable clothing. And I think what we're going to see going forward is less of that black tie, stiffer kind of formal glamour, which almost looks a bit dated when you look at it now. I don't know if you feel that when you look at those dresses.
Well, just I'm aware of the fact that a huge number of events that would once have been full-on ball gown, black tie, are going more sort of smart work, glamorous, but not over the top. You know, you don't have to go out and spend a fortune on a brand new ball gown every time you're going out. It's noticeable.
Exactly. And you don't have to be corseted, you know, and not be able to eat.
If you're going to sit through a 4-hour function, do it in a comfortable outfit, in shoes that you can walk and stand in for 4 hours. So to me, it makes a lot of sense.
So you look at someone like Billie Eilish, who is, I would imagine, the kind of icon of the music industry, winning all those awards, best album, best artist, now in the Grammys. She was in kind of Gucci pajamas at the Grammys. I mean, she is avant-garde and out there, but it's a sign of things to come.
She matched her hair to her outfit. Is that a trend for 2020?
Well, I said green was a color.
You did.
But I can tell you that definitely comfort in perhaps luxurious fabrics and colors are going to come more to the fore, and it's less about looking, in inverted commas, sexy.
I'm all for something that puts comfort front and center. I say that as somebody whose feet can do about 4 hours in heels and no more before I literally have to take them off and walk barefoot. And yeah. it's not a good look that a formal do. So, okay.
One more trend that was also something that was bold at the Grammys was nail art. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking long diamante talons in all different colors. I'm not quite sure how you would swipe on your smartphone in them, or perhaps knead dough, but I can tell you that I think that is something we're going to be seeing copied on the high streets, and it'll definitely whittle down.
Note to all nail salon owners, it's going to be a good year for you by the sounds of things. Okay, so if you want to tell us what you want to see the back of in terms of fashion from 2019 that needs to be left in 2019, or what you're looking forward to wearing this year, who you liked on the red carpets, whose outfits you thought looked bizarre, a voice note to 0725671567 or an SMS to 31567. I mean, you mentioned Margaret Qualley. Look, talk about being genetically blessed. I think Andie MacDowell is one of the most beautiful, beautiful women on the planet. So, she's got good genes and structure to start with. But, you know, she is one of those women who can wear virtually anything and look beautiful in it. Mm. I just think it's quite a statement to arrive as the one person in the room who could have probably worn the least and got away with it, that she came in a much more elegant and yet practical outfit, I think.
And very covered
speaks
up.
Speaks a lot, yeah.
Definitely.
Very interesting. Okay, so from fashion design to the wider world of design, our main focus today is around the big design event of the year, which is suddenly just around the corner, Design in Durban. It's a special occasion. It's a jubilee year this year, isn't it?
25 years, and I've invited festival media spokesperson and former festival manager of the Design in Durban, Lauren Chantal, into studio to tell us a bit more about what we can expect from the first Indaba of the decade, and the 25th one, your Silver Jubilee. Congratulations. Yes.
Thank you. Well, it sounds very auspicious to be doing the first Indaba of the decade. I love the sound of that.
Yeah.
But yes, it is going to be special. The program is always exceptional, but yes, this year I think we've pulled out the stops to curate 20 international speakers who are top of their game. And they're coming from countries as far afield as Colombia and Ghana and Canada. And they're descending on Cape Town for 3 days of mind-blowing stimulation. So, yes, make a diary note for Design in Durban 2020.
26 to 28 February for those reaching for the diaries as we speak. Sorry to interrupt.
Tell us a little bit, you mentioned another conference. What about people who don't go to the conference? What else is on offer for Capetonians and visitors in general?
Okay, it's a beautiful question. So much of the Design in Durban Festival is free and open to the public. It's intended to be accessible. It's intended to give everyone an opportunity to share, to collaborate, to experience, to contribute. That's why we call Design in Durban not only a think tank, but a do tank. So we want Capetonians to come down to that Artscape Piazza and experience the range of things that are on offer, most of which are entirely free. So what you can do is you can come and bring an old T-shirt, and you can upcycle that with Patrick Thomas, who's a world-famous graphic designer, and he'll be setting up a screen printing station.
Wow.
Debbie Millman, who runs the longest-running design podcast in the world called Design Matters, is giving a live podcast from Design in Durban. You can be part of the audience. You can come and meet 40 of the country's most promising emerging creatives, each of whom will have a dedicated exhibition stall, which they will man and mount with their designs, and you can get to know them, get to know their work. They are the stars of the future. Plus, we will have 10 objects which nominators have put forward as the 10 most beautiful objects in South Africa, and we're calling on the public to come and decide who should win.
Now, that list of most beautiful objects always fascinates me, because they range, you know, it's not just about a vase or a sculpture. I think the one which I remember is the bench, that beautiful dark blue bench that won one year. Hope are you London. Allowed to give us a bit of an insight into what's on the list this year?
Give us the scoop.
Well, I'm going to give everyone the scoop and direct them to the Design in Durban website, which is designindurban.com, because the most beautiful object in South Africa voting opens from next week. So please come online. You'll get to know who made the nominations, who the nominees are, and most importantly, that online voting component will be open for your voice.
Let's jump back now to the conference where we started. Now, people talk about the price of the tickets being very high. And it's something that we need to talk about. People complain about it online.
Yes.
I want to give you the opportunity to explain to our listeners why it's such a pricey hot ticket and what options are available if you can't afford that premium ticket.
It's a beautiful question. I have to say, every year we do get people coming and asking us why the ticket is so expensive. We actually love this comment because what it says to us is that people want to come. Mm. So in order to facilitate accessibility to this event, there are several things that are free. The first one I want to start with is whether your bank balance is zero or has five zeros, Design Indaba records all its speakers every year, and that video content is available on designindaba.com absolutely free. It's not like a pay-on-demand channel. Mm. You don't have to subscribe. You can go to a free Wi-Fi zone and educate yourself to the extent of your own desire. And that is absolutely free. You don't even have to be in South Africa. You can access that at any time. And that is an amazing repository of world leaders sharing their thoughts with you. That is free. The next thing that's free are all the things on the piazza we already discussed, the exhibitions, the screen printing station, the podcasts, and that you can come and enjoy on the piazza from the 26th to the 28th. Then we start to tear up into other things that are some free, some not free, and those are masterclasses. Mm-hmm. So there will be masterclasses that you can attend. You have to reserve your ticket on web tickets, but there's no cost. And then some of those may have a cost associated to them. Then you tear up into what we call the simulcast. So we run a live feed of the conference, and that is especially attended for people who might find the full ticket price a little bit too costly for them.
How much is that, that simulcast?
The simulcast prices start at 465 Rand per day.
Right.
Which I think is really affordable if you're going to be listening to more than 10 top international speakers.
Where do they sit? Is it on the Artscape campus?
Yes. So if you're attending the simulcast in Cape Town, so there's a simulcast in Cape Town, Johannesburg, Durban, Potchefstroom, Nairobi. If you're attending those simulcasts, they're all in auditorium venues.
Yeah.
At the Artscape, the venue is the theatre,
right,
while the main conference is in the opera theatre.
Which is really great because then you still get that networking experience.
Yes. You get to be part of the vibe of the event to experience all the festival elements and the free stuff, but also just sit in a slightly different space to enjoy the
I like that idea. Yeah. And also the nice thing about it that is if you are working in the day and you want to dip in and out, you're not disturbing anyone when you leave the auditorium. So often it's a better option for a lot of people, you know, to not actually be in person listening to the speakers.
Sure. And then you, if you want the full live experience, you can tear up into the conference, which sells either a day ticket, a 2-day ticket, or a full 3-day pass. And there you have various options for discounting. If you're a former attendee, what we call an alumnus, or if you are in a group of alumni, if you're a student or an academic, you get 15% off your ticket price. If you come in a group, and a group scaling from 5 upwards, you get different tiers of discounted pricing. If you're from a company and your company is registered with a CETA, you can claim 20% of the ticket price back through your training budget. So if you combine a group or a previous alumni discount with a CETA discount, you can get 35% off the price of the ticket. So then my question to you is, how much do you think a 3-day conference where you're listening to 35 international speakers, each one of them top of their game, should cost? Right. Are you surprised if I say it's only about 8,000 Rand? If you had to take that and compare it with any other conference in South Africa, it's absolutely, there isn't even an apple that can compare with this apple.
Okay,
so that is if you go for the full price, full 3-day pass, full experience conference ticket, the maximum that you're going to pay is 8,240 Rand. And as you've explained, lots of different discount options available, plus alternatives for a different way of experiencing it that is more cost effective if you want to. The speakers, I've had a look at your website. The list of speakers is hugely impressive. They're from all over the world, and they are, I think it's worth expanding on the elements of design they're involved in, because I think a lot of people listen to design and they think, okay, designing a piece of furniture or a piece of art or a piece of fashion. Mm. It's much more broadly interpreted than that, Lauren.
Yes, absolutely. And in later years, the design in DAB has been increasingly focused on people who are active in the social change space.
Yeah.
So what you're seeing now is not so many of the traditional illustrators or graphic designers as you would have done, say, 10 or 20 years ago. Remember,
architects were common.
Yeah. Yes, they were. But, you know, 25 years on, our program is definitely diversified. It's definitely a much more socially conscious program. I mean, Design in DAB is about creativity for a better world.
Mm.
So we're looking at people who are working in the bioengineering space, the health space, science, food, drones, programming, web design. Mm. I mean, it is so diverse. I think we have one illustrator on the program this year. Mm.
And performance art is also a strong element.
Yes.
Tell us who the star speakers are. Who mustn't we miss? For those of us who are limited with time. Come on.
All
right. Spill the beans.
Well, I can only share my pick because I think every person on this program is a star.
Okay.
And the person you think you're coming to see often isn't the one that you end up leaving as the most memorable for you.
Very true.
But if I had to pick out my top three, I'm dying to see Robert Wong. He heads Google Creative Lab. He's worked on projects like Google Glass. And he's not about technology. He's about empathy. I'm like, I have to go and listen to the man who puts humanity before machines.
Okay.
Then Studio Drift. I don't know if you know anything about Studio Drift, but one of the latest projects they did was outside the Kennedy Space Center. And they did a choreographed drone performance along to Duran Duran playing live.
Wow.
It's just the ultimate.
Oh, I wish I could have been there for that.
It's the convergence of performance, art, programming, music. It is everything.
Mm. And putting an end to fireworks.
Well, I was just going to say, on that note, if you haven't yet seen the footage of, I think it was Shanghai's spectacular New Year's Eve fireworks display that didn't include a single firework and was all done by drone, get onto Google and look for it and astound yourself. Mm. Sorry, we diverged. Who's your third pick?
But that's what Design in DAB is about. It's about stimulating the way forward, using innovation to create the newness. Jeannie Gang. Jeannie Gang was on Time Magazine's 2019 list of the top 100 innovators. She's a female architect. She was the 2016 Women Architect of the Year. She lays claim to having created the tallest skyscraper designed by a woman. It's 82 stories high. She's a change maker. She's an educator. She's very outspoken about architecture's role in creating better buildings. Mm-hmm. And I really want to see her talk.
Question on the WhatsApp line. Somebody wanted to know why there's no more expo component at Design in DAB.
Okay, this is a brilliant question. So the expo is something that is very close to my heart. I worked on the expo as manager for 3 years. The expo was started coming out of a transformational mode in South Africa's history, where design had really been relegated to industrial design, which had been harnessed by the then South African government into kind of defensive things like rattles and bomb-proof bins. And there wasn't a thriving design culture in terms of product design, fashion, jewelry design. So the purpose of the expo was to stimulate the local design economy and get creatives to produce viable product for the export market. And part of the mandate of the expo was to bring in, with the assistance of the DTI, international buyers who would sample and then export South African design products to the world. And we feel that the expo served its purpose because now we have high street South African design stores, stores in the mall, Makhosa's new shop in the Mall of Africa. That moment has happened. We have a South African design industry. Is there a need for an expo? No, it served its purpose. It done what it needed to do.
I just have one quick question before you have to wrap up. Lee Edelcourt, it's a little bit of an extra at the end of the expo. Can you just tell us what she's talking about?
Of course. So Lee's been coming to South Africa for Design in DAB since 2007. So that's every year for 13 years. Those of you who don't know who she is a world-renowned trend forecaster. Very influential, very impactful. Her ideas have shaped consumerism for the last decade. This year, she's going to be talking about sustainability and the green revolution when it comes to fashion in particular, which I think leads back very interestingly into your comments earlier about the red carpet and comfortable clothes that you don't only wear once. Mm. And in addition to speaking about green, she's going to be talking about food as the new design direction and how kitchens in particular are becoming increasingly the pumping heart of every home.
Oh, what a lot. I'm looking forward to popping in. The event is happening 26th to 28th February. As you've heard Lauren tell you, the Artscape is the hub where it's all going down. And if you want to take a look at who the speakers are and get the idea of those 10 most beautiful objects from next week, designindaba.com is the website. Any final words from you, Bianca?
I'm looking forward to it.
Lauren Chantal, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to it as well. It'll be my first time visiting, I'm embarrassed to say, but I really am looking forward to being there and having an experience of designing Indaba for the first time. Bianca, we'll chat again next month. Lovely to have you with us.
Cheers. Thanks so much, Pippa.